before I pray, let me just say this. If you're interested in a printout, you know, an actual hard copy of that, of the results of that, it's on the back information table. You can just pick one of those up, all right? Free. If you want to take a look at that, because there has a lot more answers than what you saw on the PowerPoint, all right? So anyway, Heavenly Father, you're so amazingly great. We feel your presence. We sense your presence. We know you're here. We know that you have good things for us. We know that your word is alive. We know that you still speak to us today, and that you want to speak to us today. And so I pray that you would do that in spite of me. You would work through me in my weakness, and you would empower the message so it will do exactly what you want it to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but it's good to be back. It's good to be back home where it's 91 degrees colder. Great. Yeah. You do the math, right? All right. But we've been on a long but an excellent journey in a short amount of time. And but we're looking forward to what God is going to do in us and through us in 2015. Believe that, 2015. And while we were gone, Brandon took you on a long journey, didn't he? How many appreciate Brandon's mess? Yeah. The journey of the wise men. And while you didn't know it, it was the beginning of a series of messages for the new year. And I'm entitling this particular series, Get Serious. All right? Get Serious. Cultivating, developing habits, spiritual habits for your soul. And as we start out this morning, what I'm going to say right up front is this. As we begin, if we want to live well, if we want measurable increases of spiritual growth in our life, if we want deeper friendship with God, if we want greater influence on other people for the kingdom of God, then we have to develop some very basic spiritual habits in our lives. And so we're going to be talking about a bad word for most, discipline, right? Talking about discipline, the dreaded word. You know, everyone has habits. How many believe that? I've got a few not so good habits. Most of us have formed some lazy habits, and we would never say that we have lazy habits, but we just say, well, that's just the way that I am. Right? We hear that a lot. That's just the way that I am. Well, we've resigned ourselves to this certain way of life, but you know what? That life may not be at all what God wants. And in fact, it usually isn't. And so we got some lazy habits. We got some bad habits in our lives, but what God wants to do is form some good spiritual habits in our lives. And so here's the good news. Here's this morning before we really kind of, you know, sink our teeth into it. God wants to produce some amazing changes in our lives. I believe that. How many believe that? God wants to produce some amazing changes in your life and my life. He wants to bless us. He wants to impart some gifts in our lives. He wants to use you to reach others for Jesus. He wants to set you and I free from some destructive habits. And he wants to build some good habits in our lives. And so the things that we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks are simply just seed beds for God to work. You with me? We need to place ourselves in environments where God could do his work. We have to have environments where God can plant the seeds. You have to have a seed bed, something to work. He's got to have something to work with. in order for him to do some work in our lives. And so we're going to be talking about the habit of reading the Bible. We're going to be talking about the habit of prayer, the habit of fasting, the habit of service, the habit of fellowship and relating to fellow Christians on a regular basis, the habit of solitude and silence in your life, quiet in your life. We're going to be talking about the habit of sharing your faith. And so, and I don't know how long this is going to take, all right? So let's not, we don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I don't know. Last time I did a series on Colossians. I thought it was week 4 or 5, and someone pointed out to me we're like at week 13. I was like, oops. Remember that? It's like weird. Yeah. So, but we're going to be talking about these different habits, because here's the deal: serious Christians are constantly cultivating and developing these habits in their lives. Serious Christians are constantly developing these habits in their lives. Now, the first habit has already been covered. It's the habit of worship. The habit of worship. The wise men were serious worshipers, weren't they? How many were here for the last 2 weeks? You didn't skip out, right? You didn't stay home, you know. How many? The wise men were serious worshipers. You heard that, didn't you? I mean, that was pretty clear. They were serious worshipers. Now, I hope you're not going to ask me to demonstrate burpee worship, because I'm not going to do it. I can't do that. Brandon's got he's a lot younger than me. But I can demonstrate stretchy worship, all right? See, I could do stretchy worship. He talked about burpee worship, right? But we're going to talk about stretchy worship, all right? So we're going to do it, all right? Ready? We can do it. So we need to be reaching out for Jesus. We need to be reaching out and worship. I'm just psyching up. All right. And I actually do these daily. So you have no idea how hard that is. But you have to reach out for Jesus. And you got to really reach pretty far and put some effort into it. It's a lot better than burpees, I'll tell you that right there. I think so. Anyway, how many have I done? Oh, God, we got to do at least 5. I usually do 35. And then I pass out. Is that 5? Oh, that's enough. All right. Yeah. I just want Brandon to show me up, do some burpees on the platform. That's crazy. I gotta catch my breath. The wise men were serious-minded. They were. They were intentional. They were focused. They were determined. They made a full effort. They made a full investment. They were fully humble. Remember all these points? They sacrificed their time and their money to worship Jesus. Serious Christians cultivate a habit of worship. And they don't let anything stand in their way of worshiping Jesus. Nothing. And you know what, if we're honest today, we have to say that very few people are truly serious-minded. Very few people are truly serious-minded. You know, we're not really serious about so many things. We start out well, don't we? We start out well enough, but then the enthusiasm begins to fade away. And we're not that serious. And sometimes, you know, people are serious-minded, but just not about the right things. I mean, they're serious about some good things, but often those good things distract them from what God wants them to be doing. So sometimes you can be serious about some pretty good things, but they can distract you from some of the missions that God wants you to be involved in, some of the tasks that he wants you to be involved in. Sometimes we're serious-minded about things that produce bad results in our lives, things that actually tear us away from our relationship with God. But here's one thing for sure. We all have one journey. That's it. We got one journey here on earth. We only get one crack at it. And we need to know what it takes to make the journey count. And developing a habit of worship should be on top of the list, shouldn't it? How many believe that? You know, in John chapter 4, Jesus said this. He said, "The Father seeks true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth." That's what he said. The Father seeks true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, he said this as a part of a conversation with a woman who knew about religious history. She knew all about religious history. She knew all the religious jargon, this woman did. But she was completely empty of soul. In fact, she was seeking to fill the void in her life with relationships with men. And when she met Jesus, she was on her sixth relationship, shacking up with a guy. She knew a lot about God. She knew a lot about church, but she knew nothing about a life-giving relationship with God. Nothing about that. And it's in that context that Jesus says, you know, the Father seeks true worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. People who are focused, people who are serious, people who are intentional. So let me just say again, you know, this first habit that Brandon did, he did it so well. I listened to them. Listened to both of those. First thing I did, listened to both of those messages. Wonderful messages. And the first habit is to help us to have a fulfilling Christian journey. How many want to live this life well that we have? The first habit is to get serious about worship just like the wise man did. To get serious. See, the serious Christian never says, "I have to worship. I should go to worship." Never says that. The serious Christian says, "I get to worship." See the difference? My soul longs to worship. And the passion of our soul should be like the psalmist who said in Psalm 42, said, it might be up there, yeah. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" That ought to be our question. That we ought to ask, when can, that ought to be our attitude. When can I go and meet with God? That's the attitude, that's the spirit that we need to develop and cultivate in our lives, the habit of a worshiper. Listen to what the 30th president, Calvin Coolidge, said. That was interesting. "It's only when men begin to worship that they begin to grow." I like that. And so worship in the sanctuary, in a place like this, is one of those seed beds. It's a Holy Spirit environment. This is a Holy Spirit environment. And when we come and offer our worship, right, on every week, God begins to do a work. God begins to change us. God, you know, begins to speak some direct words into our lives. And so our prayer should be, "Whatever you want to do in my life, Lord, whatever it is that you want to say to me, I accept it. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Whatever it is that you want, whatever you want to say to me, here I am. I'll accept it." Amen? And so this is an opportunity to pour out our hearts for Jesus for all he's done and is doing. Which leads us to our second habit this morning, the habit of reading Scripture. Now, first of all, let me just say this. It's important to view the scripture for what it is. It is a divine book. A divine book. You with me? You see, the Bible is not just a collection of stories or myths or human ideas about God. It's not just another human book. Can we say that again? It's not just another human book, the Bible. See, through the Holy Spirit, God revealed himself and he revealed his plan to certain believers, and they used their own minds, they used their own talents, they used their own language, they used their own style of writing, but what they wrote was what God wanted them to write. They call that inspiration, right? It's a divine book. It's a divine book. 2 Timothy 3, you don't have to turn there, it should be up there. All scriptures God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay? All scripture is God-breathed. God is the one who navigated the writing. Did they write it? Yes. But God is the one who inspired and navigated what was written, what we have today. What we have today. So it's completely trustworthy because God was in control of the writing. Follow me? So let me get personal this morning. Understanding that God essentially wrote letters to you and to I, as human beings, ought to impact our interest in it, don't you think? Right? The fact that God wrote some letters to us ought to impact the amount of interest that we have in this book, right? Here's the thing. If God was serious enough to reveal himself to us by writing, then we ought to be serious enough to read what he said. Hello? Are you with me? All right. So, there's so many reasons. You know, we have to ask, why was the Bible given to us? Well, there's so many reasons why the Bible was given to us. But I want to give you just a few this morning. The first thing we need to say is this, that the Bible is our guide for our life journey. Okay. The psalmist said this in Psalm 119, I am a stranger on earth, do not hide your commands from me. I'm a stranger on this earth. And you know, Brandon mentioned in the last couple of weeks that almost any long trip requires a map, right? Or a guide, or a GPS. Or Google Maps on iPhone, right? And almost any trip really needs that. Guys wouldn't admit that, but last weekend we set out from Clearwater around 6 a.m. and we needed to get to I-75, so we plugged in our home address into our phone and we set out. And it's dark, and there's no one on the roads. And we're going down these streets that just didn't appear right. It's like, this isn't right. This can't be right, right? You ever been there? It's like, this isn't right. And I started to have doubts, despite the fact that guys never get lost. And we're driving and driving and driving. And pretty soon, there's the interstate signs. It's like, right? But you know what? All I needed to do was to trust the GPS, right? You know, if I trusted myself, we could still be driving around Florida. At least the roads would be clear. No snow in Florida. No snow in Florida. Poor souls. As we travel through life, we need to let the Bible be our GPS, pointing out safe routes, warning us of obstacles that we need to avoid. And, of course, the Bible clearly reveals our final destination, doesn't it? And how to get there. And we need to trust the Bible's direction for our lives. Ignoring the GPS, ignoring the Bible, will get you lost. Quickly. Quickly. And you'll wander aimlessly, and your soul will feel uneasy, and you'll just waste a lot of time and years if you ignore the Bible. It has the direction that we need for our lives. How many believe that? You believe? Yeah, it does. It can guide us. It can navigate us in this life. And sometimes life can be foggy, right? Life can have a lot of storms, and life, you know, can be pretty dicey. And we need the Bible to direct us and to navigate our lives more than we really realize. We need the Bible in our lives. And so it's our navigator. It's our navigator. Secondly, the Bible is basic equipment for us. It's one of the purposes of God, you see, in giving us the Bible, is to equip us to do good things, to do good in this earth, right? Again, the Scripture, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, we should never read and study the Bible just to increase our knowledge. That's pretty pointless. Or to really prepare us to win arguments, which is really the biggest complaint, I think, of people that aren't believers, is that we're always arguing. Right? We're argumentative. Christians are. Make our point. But we should read the Bible so we'll learn and know how to do Jesus' work in the world. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we read it. And this is one of the hallmark revelations of John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, is that we don't just get to read about what Jesus did. We get to do what Jesus did. The church does. The church gets to do what Jesus did. Amen? And so, as the church, we are to perpetuate His kingdom activity and work in this world until Jesus comes again. That's our mission as a church. We're to perpetuate the things that He did. And so each of us in our own way, all right, should be preaching the good news of grace. Each of us in our own way should be telling other people how to get to heaven and praying for others and praying for healing and feeding the poor and ministering to the poor and setting people free from bondages, you know, with truthful words that we offer to them. And we're to do all this in a compassionate way and a grace-filled way and with deep love and deep compassion. And the ways to do these things is all found in the Bible. You with me? And so we're to be equipped. And God wants that of us. He wants us to begin to do some things. All right? We probably know enough to keep us going for a long time. That's not our problem. For some it may be a problem, not knowing things about Scripture, but a lot of us, we know a lot about Scripture. I think Jesus, okay, now let's do it. Let's do it. All right? It's time to do it. It's time to get serious and do it. Instead of talking about it, reading about it. So Why was the Bible given to us? It was given to us to equip us, to train us, to get us to the place where we're able to do some things, be used by God to do some things, to reach people for Jesus. Yeah? Hello? But listen, thirdly, and this is really most importantly, God gave us the writings and the letters of the Bible so we could get to know Him. And when we think about reading the Bible, it really comes down to desire. To desire. Do we desire to know Jesus and enjoy Jesus more than anything? That's what it comes down to, is desire. I like what John Piper said, Pastor John Piper. He said these words. He said, if Jesus is supreme in a person's life, if the passion is to know Him above all, if the passion is to desire Him and enjoy Him and treasure Him more than anything, if the passion is to bring as many people with you as you can into that experience, then you can't live without the Bible. It's the most relevant book in the world, the Bible. And he went on to say this. He said, the Bible is an unparalleled love letter to the people of God. I love that. All right, I want you to follow me with this. Just follow me this morning. And I'm going to lead you to a scripture and we're going to finish. The psalmist says this. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Doesn't it seem kind of silly to say I get a spoonful of honey on Sunday? That's enough. I don't want any the rest of the week. Spoonful of honey, that's all. Got a spoonful, that's good. That's all I need. Doesn't that seem silly? Right? The psalmist says this, God's word is to be desired more than gold. Psalm 19. God's word is to be desired more than gold. And then King Solomon followed up, and King Solomon said this. He said, if you seek God's words like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So I'm going to ask this awesome question. Why would we only want one taste of honey a week? Why would we only want a small deposit of gold in the bank of our souls? Why? Why would we only want a few lines from our lover? Just a line or two. Hey, how you doing? I love you. That's all you need. Why? Right? See, most of the developing this desire of reading the Bible, most of it has to do with desire. It's desire. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And we'll finish up with just a few thoughts and a challenge this morning. Deuteronomy 17. We're going to begin in verse 18. We're going to finish out that chapter. But let me just say this about Deuteronomy 17. God gave a ton of instruction to the Israelites, all right, through Moses. And in Deuteronomy 17, he tells them that, he's forewarning them, and he says that after you enter into the promised land, after you take possession of it, and after you settle yourselves, and you form your communities, and, you know, you raise your families, you're going to want a king. He says, I'm already going to tell you in advance, you're going to want a king, right? He's already going to tell them before they even know they want a king. He says, trust me, you're going to want a king. And God, through Moses, says that their king must do certain things. Verse 18, this is what the king is supposed to do. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, He's to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from that of the Levitical priests. Right? A copy of the words of God. A copy of the scripture. A copy of the Bible. All that they had at that point. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God, and follow carefully all the words of his law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. Now, that's fascinating to me, all right? What's God saying? God's saying that the king was to be a man, a person of God's word, right? That the king was to be a person of the word of God. And he was to do certain things. He was to, one, he was to have a copy of the law for his personal use. How many have a copy? You got a copy? All right? He was to have a copy of the law, of the word of God, the scripture, for his personal use. Right? He was to keep it with him all the time. How many know where your Bible is? All right. He was to read from it, it says, every day. Every day. Read it all the days of your life. All the days of your life. He was to read it every day. And then he was to obey it completely. And if he did those four things, God said that he would learn to respect and revere and fear God. He would keep a healthy respect of God in his life, right? And he would keep himself from being feeling more important than other people, right? Because that's easy to do, to think that we're more important than other people. And then it said it would also avoid, it would help him avoid neglecting God when things were going well. When things were prosperous, when things were blessed, when everything was hunky-dory, right? He wouldn't neglect God. And I don't know about you, that sounds like a pretty good plan, doesn't it? That sounds like an excellent plan. That sounds like a plan that would get you through a journey of life. Well, and I just want to say this, and I want to just offer us all a challenge, myself included. Listen, we can't know what God is like except through his word. You hear that? And we can't know what God wants of our lives except through his word. And his word won't affect our life. And we won't obey what it says unless we read it and think about it on a regular basis. We've got to read it. We've got to read it. So here's my challenge this morning. Let's read it together. Why not read it together? Why not read it together as a congregation? Right? I mean, I'm not saying stay here until we... Why not read it together, all right? And so on my left and my right, I've got a 52-week Bible reading plan. You can read the Bible in 52 weeks. You can discover God daily for 52 weeks, 365 days a year. It'll take you right through it. And you don't have to read a lot. You don't have to read a lot? No, you don't have to read a lot at all. I don't really like to read. Well, you don't have to read a lot. Take you 10 minutes, right? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, okay? See, some of you have already developed a habit of reading the Bible in your life. You already have that developed habit. That's good. Good for you, all right? Some of you operate by fits and starts. How many are, that's you. I start. You go along well for weeks, you go along well for months reading your Bible, and then you just stop for months at a time, right? Just stop. How many, well, you don't have to raise your hand. I admit, I'm there, right? Some of you never, ever developed a habit of reading your Bible daily. Never. Ever. Do you know the latest research studies say that 34% of people who attend church, Christians who attend church, only read their Bible once a week, one time a week. 34%. And another 25% of people, church Christians who go to church on a regular basis, another 25% don't read their Bible at all. At all. That's like 60%. Right? And so, why not? Why not develop a habit of meeting God in the Scriptures? Why not let the Bible transform you daily? Why not? Why not build your faith, acquire some tools to do something for God? Right? Why not get serious? Huh? Why not? Why not get serious? So that's my challenge. Let's read it together. All right? I've got mine. Going to start tomorrow. You can too. All right? So I've got them here. I've got them here. It's all up to you then to get serious. Okay? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we want to develop some habits in our lives that will help us to be serious-minded, to help us be like the wise man, to help us to be focused and intentional and serious-minded, to be all in. And this is tough, but we know it's what you want. And so I pray that you begin to cultivate, you begin to work the habit of worship within our lives, that we would just, our hearts would scream, when can I go and meet with God? Our hearts would just be screaming this. When can I go and meet with God next? And we also develop and cultivate in our lives the habit of meeting you and discovering you and discovering who you are in the Scriptures. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us and you've written it down. And so empower us, Holy Spirit, give us the determination to develop and cultivate this habit. And as we do, Lord, do amazing things in our lives. Amazing things. As we look in your word, trust your word, rely upon your word. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Who would be the first as a physical act that you're serious would come and get one? Yeah. Just come. I want to do this. I'm going to do this thing. We're going to do this together. We're going to do this together. It doesn't take long, doesn't require too much of our day. But it'll make an eternal difference in our lives. Our souls will flourish. Our souls will just skyrocket. Well, what if I miss a day? Well, I have to slap your hand, I guess, you know. You know, come on. Make it up. You know. Catch up. Don't get too far behind. But here's the thing this morning, and I'm going to close. Here's the thing. You're meeting God. And he wants to meet with you as you read it, his word. He wants to reveal himself to you as you read. As you take in the word, he's going to reveal himself to you. Be prepared. He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. And it's all good. Amen. Heavenly Father, just burn this desire in us. God, we want to be serious. We want this year to be a year that we have solid spiritual habits that feed our soul. Help us in it. God, it's going to be a journey, so help us in it by your Spirit. Help us along. We need you to help us along in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you need some prayer of any kind, just come to the front. We'll pray with you. Ask God to meet you in your time of need.